How's it going, everybody? Brian Alvers and Dave Meltzer here on Wrestling Observer Radio. It is October 18th, 2011, here at figure4online.com/wrestlingobserver.com. Joined today, of course, as always, by Dave Meltzer. We have a lot to talk about. Raw last night, Bound for Glory fallout from Sunday. A lot of stuff to talk about that just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. It's going to be the theme of today's program.
Wrestling making sense now.
It's preposterous, I know. Where to begin here? Raw. Let's start with Raw? I'll start with Raw.
Raw from Mexico.
I got so angry watching this show. And it's not just, I mean, show was better than last week, but that's not saying much. But
I thought the show was reasonably okay.
They
actually pushed the pay-per-view much better than I expected they were going to.
Dave, standards are so low nowadays.
I mean, I'm not saying that they made me want to watch it, but at least they mentioned it. They gave a bunch of the matches, even if they got one of them wrong. I'll tell you what, for a taped show, I do have to say, for a taped show, when they had that Vicky Guerrero interview talking about, that she got the tag team title match on the pay-per-view, which I presume isn't happening because on SmackDown, they announced a different match. And this is a taped show. I was thinking, since it's a taped show, you can, And you announce a match and you've changed your mind, you can just edit it off, right? No, such luck.
I'm not sure it was a changed mind. I think this is actually a storyline. Not a good one, but I think they're doing a storyline where Evan Bourne suffers an injury. And
when?
Well, I think they're going to say he suffered it last week on Raw when he took that sky-high powerbomb thing from Swagger and sold it like he'd been killed. Remember that?
Yeah, but he worked all the shows this week.
Not on TV.
Doesn't
happen if it's not on television. Anyway, that's where I think they're going. But again,
I don't know, because they never mentioned once in 2 hours that he was hurt.
Well, if you watched the show, you certainly got the idea that Air Boom wasn't getting a match at the pay per view, seeing as how they both lost.
Vicky announced it. She goes, "I got the tag team title match Sunday at Vengeance."
I know she announced that, and then they immediately had Zack Ryder get a pinfall over
Swagger.
Dolph got beaten so badly that his opponent got DQ'd. So I figured that's got to be the match, or it's a three way.
I know. I think it's going to be on SmackDown, which airs on Friday. They announced it's Ziggler defending against Ryder.
Oh boy!
And there was something else that was.
Triple H is still COO.
Triple H still COO, and on Friday Night SmackDown, they're having the mask versus mask match, and they don't even plug it once.
They didn't plug it a single time, everybody.
Nope.
You know, the Triple H is COO thing. I didn't notice when they first announced it, and I saw somebody talking about it on the board, and I was like, no, you've got to be wrong. And I actually went back, I rewound an hour into the show.
I noticed it where they go, they made mention Triple H COO, and I go, wait a minute, what did I watch on TV last week?
I had to go to the website, because I was desperate to go back and find an example of them announcing that he'd been removed as COO. All they said is that Triple H, is on the website now, Triple H is the COO, but he has been relieved of his duties on Raw. What in the hell sense does that make? He's the COO.
The same way that Vince McMahon was running the company and he was terminated, except he's still there.
He's still the chairman.
But when he left, he was crying and he was gone and he was done.
I know. This company has become Impact. And I just need to get it through my head that
it sucks. In some ways, they're worse than Impact, because again, Impact has long-term plans, and they change everything
from
day to day. Although Impact sometimes changes the long-term plans, but these guys, there's no such thing as long-term plans.
Like last night.
What about last night?
Bobby Roode not getting the title.
Yeah, but that's the exception to the rule. That's usually. I mean, like I said, we'll put it this way. Six months ago, the three key things that were going to happen at Bound for Glory was that Sting was going to win the title, the company back for Dixie. Hogan was going to go babyface. Velvet Sky was going to win the women's title, and Bobby Roode was going to win the title. So, six months ago, they had plans, and three of the four happened, and the fourth would have happened except at the last minute they changed their mind on that one. So, they went to the day of the show with going 4 for 4 for plans from 6 months ago. Now, if we talk about if there were such thing as plans for next week on Raw, today, and for the four key elements on Raw, probably, if we're lucky, one of those four will actually happen next week.
Difference between Impact and Raw is that Impact has long-term, often shitty storylines, and Raw changes the script six times over the weekend, and then they try to make sense of it.
Something like that.
Neither is good. I was just angry on this show.
Neither is that good. I'll agree with that.
I was angry watching this show because they went to Mexico, and I just
thought, a bunch of English talking.
What a complete and utter waste of your first ever tapings in Mexico City. Just a complete waste. I mean, they did all of these English promos. They built it around English announcers who, there's a reason there's a Spanish announce table, for Christ's sake, because there are Spanish announcers on the Spanish television. Nobody gives a shit about Jim Ross and Michael Cole in Mexico. And that's the main event storyline. And you had, I mean, when Ricardo Rodriguez came out there and he didn't even do Alberto's deal in English, I mean, that's the easiest heat in the world. And apparently nobody even bothered to think about that one. They don't even bother plugging the whole Mystico versus Mystico or Sin Cara Sin Cara mask versus mask match that they're doing on Friday. They didn't even bother building it up on this show for Friday. A complete waste of time.
Yeah, but I mean, if they would have done interviews with both of them, they would have to have been in Spanish. We can't have that.
Even announce, hey, this match is taking place.
Well, the one thing I was told is that because I did question about the lack of Spanish, and there was a lot of stuff on the show in Spanish that they just didn't air on television. Most of it was done to precondition the audience, and it was basically Alberto Del Rio doing Spanish interviews explaining, you know, I'm a heel, please don't cheer me.
Oh, yeah, they did a great job.
You guys aren't at my level and all this. So then he comes out and they all cheer him.
Yeah, I wonder why, because when he came out, his announcer for the first time did promos in Spanish introducing him.
Yeah, they cheered him because he was from Mexico and he was going against Cena.
That's part of it, too. But, I mean, as soon as they did the regular ring entrance in Espanol, I just thought he's going to be a babyface in this match no matter what happens. And
yeah,
he was.
And they, you know, like I said, before he came out, he insulted that crowd. He did everything to turn them, and then, yeah. And then Ricardo may have said something bad, too, you know, because I would have thought he would.
Between all of these things and the COO deal and... I just watch this show, and it's like, these people have no idea what they're doing. And,
you're right. I mean,
it's
as
not
far
getting
as,
better.
Like, long-term and all this, and, you know, following up on storylines, yeah, they don't.
But, and in fact, I heard from somebody tonight, and God knows, everybody knows how often plans change, but I think that a lot of people are thinking, oh, man, you know, after this pay-per-view, they're going to do the build to Survivor Series, and Rock's going to come in, and the show's going to turn around. The show is going to be a little more exciting because Rock is there, but I think anybody expecting this show to turn around, they're going to be sadly mistaken.
Well, no, because it's going to the basic gist of everything is going to be the same. It's going to be booked hour to hour, and that's not really going to work out well, you know, in the long run for anything. One thing that I thought was weird is in the Punk match with the Miz, I thought that John Laurinaitis came out and said stop the match, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so he goes in there, they whisk Triple H away because of he didn't have the right paperwork, which I thought was fairly amusing. And those guys are still wrestling.
Well, he just wanted the match stopped for a second so he could come out and do his business.
Well, did anyone say start the match? I just saw them in there, and there's
well, he left.
It was like they sat in this rest hold for 18 minutes. You know, the match had been long over, and there they were.
No, maybe now just ring. Maybe they now just ignore Laurinaitis, whatever he says.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Every other time when they said stop the match, when they said stop the match last week, the match was stopped and made into a tag match or something.
Well, this show sucks, Dave. That's all I can
tell
you.
I watched something else. What was it? Oh, and and the Ricky Morton match where the the promoter came out and said stop the match, and he turned the tag match into a singles match. So it's like I'm used to this stop the match, meaning that, like, you know,
Did you read the press release from Go Fight Live today when they were plugging the replay of this show?
Oh, I am so over this show. I got them, and I mean, it's like I won't even look at anything from whatever that AWE is after the show. They can do whatever they want because they did, you know, between all that false advertising, I have no interest in plugging them anymore.
Would you like me to read you some of this?
Sure.
All right, hold on. Let me find it here. I just read this, and I didn't see the show, but I read your review, and then I ended up going back to read like the full recap of it. Okay, are you ready? It starts out. It says, "The mystery partner was revealed. The main event went off without a hitch. A special guest referee kept order, and then Kevin Nash walked out on the AWE." Did you know that the main event went off without a hitch, Dave?
Well, I mean, in a sense that nobody died, nobody broke their leg. Yeah. In that sense, it went out without a hitch.
Well, in that case...
I mean, there
case,
was like no, there was no finish, and the actual match went, you know, 45 seconds, and then it turned into another match that went about 4 minutes of no action, and then it turned into a verbal debate while the match was still going on, and then it turned into a finishing move, and then the guy walked out.
Well, perhaps you'll appreciate this final paragraph here, where they wrote, and I quote, "Then Nash mysteriously left the ring and was counted out by Garvin."
Actually,
leaving...
he wasn't counted out. They just raised Morton's hand, and they told us it was a count out, but he never counted. But, I mean, it's all the same. Nash left. So.
That's not the important part here. The important part is the following line. "He was counted out by Garvin, leaving Morton the improbable winner in one of the more impressive performances of his career."
Okay, that's pretty weird. Because I don't know that that was... I've seen some pretty damn great Ricky Morton matches. Not in a long time, I haven't.
Yes.
But there was a time in the 80s where I saw a hell of a lot of great Ricky Morton matches.
There you go.
This wasn't one of them.
There you go.
Yeah.
All right, everybody. Let's talk about Raw. Which,
did they explain why all those people no-showed?
I didn't have anything in there about that.
Okay. I guess the explanation is that they were there in front of the live crowd, which most of them were. Some of them weren't even in front of the live crowd, but most of them were. But the thing is, I got all these releases every day. I got a release, sometimes twice a day, with all these names of Rhino and Tully Blanchard and Baby Doll and Ivan Koloff and all them being on the show. And none of them were on the show. And they were all there.
All right, Raw. I got to get this over with. It opened up with John Laurinaitis coming out. Ring announcer introduced him in English. He came out and cut a promo in English.
Not very well either.
No, he never cuts a promo well. He should have done it in Spanish. Might have been better. Said Rey Mysterio was returning tonight. And then he said he's returning to a surgeon in San Diego. He won't be here. Ha ha.
Yeah. That's really good to do, you know, English comedy in a building with where 90% of the people don't know any English.
Mm-hmm. So he talked about how the board had confidence in him. He was going to do the best he could as transitional general manager. He would not let them down. And I made a mistake last week, he said. I fired good old JR. Said he'd received thousands of tweets, disturbing and mean-spirited. And, quote, "You know what? They weren't very good for a PG environment." The dialogue.
I actually like that line.
It was funny because it was such a horribly written line delivered in an even more horrible fashion that it actually was funny. So he said he listened to what the people said, and he was happy to welcome back good old JR, and out he came. Cole was appalled. Lawler was happy. Underneath Laurinaitis' name, I should note, and many others, was in fact his Twitter handle. For those of you that heard our show last night, that was quite the coincidence. So Ross is heading to the desk, and Laurinaitis says, "Please, JR, hold on. Get in the ring. I want to make a public apology." So he goes over there and hugs him, and Ross is appalled. And Laurinaitis says, "I shouldn't have fired you the way I did last week. It's very unprofessional. But not bringing you back this week to do commentary. I have some footage I want you to see." And it was Cole making fun of JR during commercial last week to get some heat. And he said that, "I know there are issues between the two of you. I don't know why, but let's settle it tonight."
Oh, no, he said because he knows maybe JR's jealous.
I see. Maybe JR's jealous.
That's what he said, yeah. I thought that was a cute line.
But he said he felt they should settle things tonight on Raw. Main event, Michael Cole and Alberto Del Rio versus Ross and John Cena. And there you go. That's your main event. We had Orton Sheamus versus Morrison. Orton Sheamus and Morrison against Henry Rhodes and Christian. Morrison is, in fact, still employed at this point. And they announced Orton and Cody were wrestling at the pay-per-view. They immediately brawled to the back. So all the fans who paid to see Randy Orton, overjoyed, I'm sure, with that.
They got to see him the next night.
Oh, that's nice. The fans that, you know, bought tickets for both shows, presumably.
Exactly.
So then we had a basic tag match, and at that point, Christian and Sheamus ended up in a brawl after Morrison tried to make a tag and Christian pulled Sheamus off the apron. So Sheamus flipped out and they brawled to the back. So poor Morrison was left in the ring with Henry. They gave him a comeback and he hit the ropes. Mark Henry tossed him high in the air like a backdrop, caught him in midair, and then killed him with the World's Strongest Slam. This finish was awesome. And I love Mark Henry. I love Mark Henry. And, by the way, SmackDown this week, another great rating.
Yeah, they had a big rating this week.
This has got to be Mark Henry, Dave.
It could be.
We got no other explanation this week.
Can't really think of anything.
People tuning in for the fallout of the worst Raw of all time?
Could be.
I don't think so. So anyway, this was great.
Maybe they thought that this was the show from Mexico.
Oh, that wasn't that they wouldn't even know was it going to take place because it was never billed?
Of course they wouldn't know that it's the show from Mexico.
Come on now. So we had Laurinaitis backstage on the phone and the Bells walked in and they said, "We want you to remember how important we are to Raw." And he said, "Don't worry, I haven't forgotten." They were never seen again.
They kissed him, and he did the next promo with lipstick on his cheek.
Mm-hmm. So he's interrupted by Alberto and Ricardo, and Alberto's all pissed off. And Laurinaitis says, "Listen, the winner of the main event tonight gets to pick the stips for the main event on Sunday." At which point, I nearly fell out of my damn chair. There's a pay-per-view this Sunday, everybody. Vengeance.
Well, they were promoting it the whole show. I thought that they did a reasonably decent job of, you know, they added matches. They talked about it.
Yeah.
They promoted the hell out of the Punk match to the point where...
Well, of course, it's Triple H's match.
I mean, it was amazing about because when Punk wrestled Miz during that match, Lawler is just going on and on and on about this tag match on the pay-per-view. So it's like, it's like, again, it's nothing he would naturally do. He was obviously told to do it.
Of course.
And so he's going, and obviously told to go overboard because he was going overboard. But the best one was, it's going to be so great to see Triple H back, you know, in the tights, blah, blah, blah. And I'm thinking, like, dude, don't you remember you announced his match 2 weeks ago?
Apparently he forgot that part.
Yeah.
Eve and Natalya, speaking of making matches for the show, Eve is getting a title shot against Beth. And so they did Eve versus Natalya, and Eve won. Apparently there are only 4 women that actually work on this brand. And they all just keep having matches with each other. And I'm figuring at some point they'll have to turn Kelly heel and Natalya babyface, and then we'll just have the same 4 people having matches again just with different combinations. So there you go. Eve was fine in this match.
You're giving her the benefit of the doubt.
I've been watching matches with Kelly.
Yeah. I thought Natalya was in the right place, and I was kind of disappointed in Eve not being all that good. But yeah, I mean, it's like, going to compare to Kelly. She's better than Kelly.
Punk and Truth. Miz and Truth came out during their rap. Miz cut a promo on Punk, bragging about how they made sure he wasn't getting a WWE title match for a long time, which I found hilarious since people get title matches all the time.
Yeah, and he's scheduled, at least right now, to get the title match Survivor Series.
Sure.
Of course, that's that could change tomorrow.
So they were about to have the match when out came Triple H, billed as noted as the current COO, a COO who is so powerful that he cannot even keep his job as the GM of Raw. So he came
he's so competent that his staff can't even fill out correct paperwork.
I love that they said they were immigration papers. He has to immigrate to Mexico to do a 4-day tour.
Well, you have to get a working visa.
They didn't say a working visa. They said immigration papers. I guess it's... Anyway.
It's the same thing.
So they had
the
deal.
Not exactly, but it's close. You know, it's close enough.
Close enough if you don't pay any attention. So they had the match, and this went forever. It was fine. There was no reason for it to go as long as it did, but it did. And finally, Truth and there was a brawl with Hunter involved, and that's when Laurinaitis came out and announced his immigration papers were having problems. So Hunter needed to go take care of that, and Hunter said, "How convenient!" So he left, and Truth is cheerleading on the apron, and Hunter punches him out, which, Could have sworn that. Anyway. So he gets taken away, and Punk makes his comeback, and they do a double switch. Punk tosses Miz into Truth, rolls him up for the pin. And there you go. That's your build to Punk and Triple H versus Miz and Truth for Sunday. They sent out some geeks to break up a two-on-one brawl afterwards. They did absolutely nothing. And Miz still gave Punk the skull-crushing finale and left him laying. So there you go. The
and
Impact
then,
security
Truth
crew.
Truth gave him the downward spiral, too.
Mm-hmm. Plug some stupid potential shows on the WWE Network, which does not yet exist and is not even close to existing, but we're now voting on names for shows. For the
a reality show with a bunch of, you know, retired wrestlers. You know, I mean, you know, they're going to get frickin' Brian Knobs out there, and knowing them, they'll probably pick, like, boring wrestlers, but, you know, who knows who they'll put in the house.
This network, Dave.
Yes.
Is going to be the biggest bomb of all time.
They are so desperate
for content.
Well, I mean, the thing is, it's going to be really hard to sell advertising for this. And it's going to be, everyone in TV is telling me how hard it's going to be to get it cleared, unless that they buy an existing station. And it doesn't look like they're going to buy an existing station. So, it's going to be interesting.
This list of shows that they've come up with is just like, who in God's name would ever want to watch any of these shows?
Oh, the reality show of a bunch of goofy ex, you know, depending on who the wrestlers are, could be great.
Divas.
You get the right personalities,
Dave, first off.
It could be great. Seriously. That could be great. Now,
Dave, it's a PG network.
Because that probably isn't going to be very good.
It's a PG network.
Okay, but the retired guys, those guys, you know, Old wrestlers looking for one last time in the spotlight, not having to take bumps, they can tell really funny stories.
I'm sure they can tell funny stories, but I've hung around far more than my fair share of old wrestlers, and I imagine what would happen locking them all in a house, and you couldn't air any of that on a PG network.
That's true, because they're gonna get wasted, and well, you know what? Maybe they won't make it PG.
I would bet they're gonna try to make this network PG. I could be wrong, but.
Yeah, you know what?
Divas Road Trip? What the hell could you possibly hear on there that would be interesting at all that's PG?
Them bringing their little dogs and stuff?
Oh, that's going to be a ratings hit.
You know, running around, you know, trying to find a gym and trying to find restaurants. What else do they do?
Have the hair lady do them up backstage.
Yeah, get makeup done.
That's a full episode.
They're going to have to get their makeup done just going on the frickin' bus.
Well... Whew. This is going to be a hell of a show.
Yeah, I feel like when I heard that they were going to do that, I felt so sorry for them because, like, man, it's bad. You know, you're going to be made up 24 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Oh man, what a drag! Cameras on you all the time. Oh, but you know what though? You're in the wrestling business; that goes with the territory.
How came Vicky and Dolph and Swagger? They're all best buds now. The whole breakup storyline has been completely dropped for absolutely no reason. So she cut a promo in English, of course, and. Got some heat, and Swagger and Dolph cut a promo. Dolph actually cut a hell of a promo.
Oh yeah, he sure. Yeah, he. A lot of people are taking notice to him.
Yep. Won't
I don't
do
know
him
if
any good.
Help him, but people are taking notice that he's, you know, that he could be a main eventer.
Well, he won't be.
I know that, but he could be.
So they
don't you think he could be?
I think he could, but it's 2011 in WWE. He's got no hope.
Yeah, I don't want to say he's got no hope, but. I'm not confident.
Let me see how many Twitter followers he has, and I'll let you know if he has any hope. Because if it's less than...
If it's less than Kelly, he's in trouble.
Let's see.
You're going to tell me how many Twitter followers he has.
I'm just trying to figure it out, because there's like a million... There's not Dolph Ziggler. That's actually the name of the person's Twitter. There's at Heel Ziggler. There's at Dolph LOL Ziggler. I don't even know what his real Twitter handle is.
I think
is,
Heel so. Ziggler sounds like it might be right.
Heel Ziggler?
Maybe, because he said he said something about being a heel tonight.
Well, unless he's hails from Bikini Bottom, Transylvania, I would guess
that's not him.
Probably not the... Although this guy does have 145,000 followers, so...
Maybe he made up a city.
Maybe that is him. How about that?
Yeah, maybe like Cleveland, Ohio doesn't sound that good.
Well, I think...
Or wherever he's from.
It says WWE Universe.
Well, then that's him. There aren't two of them.
Well, if this is not the real Dolph Ziggler, then way to go, this guy getting 145,304 followers for a fake account. And if it is the real Dolph Ziggler, that is not nearly enough followers to become a main eventer in WWE.
Okay.
All right. Anyway, they did their whole little thing, and that led to these two matches we talked about a little bit earlier. It was Zack Ryder against Jack Swagger, and the match went like 30 seconds, and then Swagger got pinned with the Rough Rider immediately. Clean.
Yeah. Yeah.
So then Mason Ryan came out when they tried to double team poor Zach.
What do you think Heath Slater watching on TV today thinks when he sees Mason Ryan on TV?
Same goddamn thing I thought. Guaranteed.
I mean, everyone's saying everyone. You know, I talked to someone last week, and they were hanging out and with in a place where Mason Ryan was, and they were just like, okay. I mean, seeing him in person, it's like someone who sees him on TV every week, but he actually saw him in person. And it was just like, the explanation was, oh my fucking God.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like Arnold Schwarzenegger with 80 extra pounds. That's what, not today, not 60-year-old Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, the Arnold Schwarzenegger from the Pumping Iron days.
It is astonishing.
Yeah.
Somebody actually on our board posted the question, why do all the undercarders fail the wellness test? And I had a good laugh.
Oh, that's obvious because...
laugh.
What?
I had a great laugh over that one.
Yeah.
Hello?
Yeah.
That's just the way things are nowadays. So he beat Ziggler so badly that he was disqualified.
It wasn't that bad. He just...
But apparently it was. He was disqualified.
He was disqualified because he wouldn't break on the ropes.
What a horrible finish. So, yeah, there are your two guys challenging for the tag titles at the pay-per-view, supposedly.
They're supposed to, but that's going to change on Friday.
How can anyone follow this product anymore? It's astonishing.
Yeah.
So Ross is lamenting his state to Cena backstage. I'm too old for this. I'm almost 60. He said, I'm a grandfather. I don't want to screw this up for you on Sunday. And Cena says, don't worry about it. Stay on the apron. I'll take care of Del Rio. He's never beaten me, and he never will. Great line to say about another main eventer. So Ross says...
Well, no, because he's challenging for the title. I think that it is a good line.
Well, seeing as how this guy is the champion and won the match in a match with John Cena, I don't know.
Yeah, but he didn't beat him.
I know, but
and Cena beat him Cena beat him clean the time before. No, I think that that's I think that he should point that out, and the announcers pointed it out too. I mean, it's like John Cena, Alberto Del Rio has never beaten John Cena, and now he got a last man standing match. So there you go.
So Ross said, "Can I please get my hands on that skinny little son of a bitch?" And Cena said, "Sure, I'll see what I can do." So they had their anti-bullying promo. I literally almost vomited at this promo here.
What, because of the timing of it?
Just because it sucks. Such
of
bullshit.
That? Oh, I just thought because, of all people, But you know what, though? I mean, it's like you've got like these two WWEs. You've got the WWE that does the anti-bullying promos, and then you've got the WWE that's like bullying.
I'm sure that like
run by like the biggest bully around.
Yeah, I'm sure that like all of the wrestlers involved and all the personalities involved are very much anti-bullying. It's not like Bob Holly was in the fucking thing, but still,
But you know what? If he was still in the company, he would be. So you know what? I think that there's probably some people who are in that promo who are absolutely very sincere about it, and I think there's some that are going like, "What a fucking crock."
Well, I'm sure like they're all thinking it's a crock.
Remember, like in the 80s and the 90s, when you had all those guys, just say no to drugs, and like every single one of them has been in rehab 40 times or dead today. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah. I just think airing these things in any company that Vince McMahon runs is just bullshit, is what it is.
Yeah, I mean, if it was like another company, it'd be cool. If it was TNA, I'd probably think it was pretty cool. But like, yeah, with WWE and.
There's constant
like,
bullying on Impact.
And it's just like every single week there's a story, and usually several. I mean, those poor writers that have to work for Stephanie, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Speaking of vomiting, did you know that SmackDown is now the second longest-running weekly episodic television show in history?
How would I not know? They've said it like 100 times in the last 2 weeks.
It sucks.
Yeah.
Ricardo came out and introduced Del Rio in Spanish, of course. And he came out Cole and Alberto against Ross and Cena. Most of the match was Alberto and Cena. And the fans got more and more and more into Alberto the longer this went. And finally...
He was also wrestling a lot harder than he usually does. There was a big difference in Alberto Del Rio tonight.
So he finally, Cena makes a comeback, and Alberto bails and tags in Cole. And Cena beats up Cole, and he's about to put him in the STF when he decides, oh, hey, Jim Ross is still here. So he tags in Ross, who gets the tap with the ankle lock, does his victory celebration. And then Cena goes over and gives Alberto the FU on the floor, which looked like it sucked. And he starts counting to 10 and stops at 7 and hits Alberto with the steps and then sits down and counts to 10 again and reveals that, in fact, the stipulations are it's a last-man-standing match at the pay-per-view. I thought Ross was going to get to choose the stipulations, but I suppose it doesn't matter. So, yeah, there you go. Pay-per-view, last-man-standing, Cena versus Alberto Del Rio. And that's your match.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Raw, everybody. What a complete, absolute waste of Mexico.
Well, they had some shots of, like, some cathedral, didn't they?
Oh. Wow.
You know, I mean...
When you put it that way.
They should have had, like, you know, a mariachi band and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Absolutely. What a waste.
You know, when I... you can think this is a terrible analogy, but that's my gimmick. Remember back in the 90s when once a year... Nitro would go to Club La Vela.
Of course. And I actually thought that was a great idea.
Oh, God, I thought that was awesome. And, the ring is like in the middle of a swimming pool. And
yeah,
somebody,
and someone would always get thrown into the water.
Somebody'd always get sent into the water. And, it's a fan.
It's amazing. The same guy, Eric Bischoff, the same guy who ran that show, okay, is like running this.
I don't want to think
about that. With, like, no ideas like that. And, you know, and I mean, I can tell you why, because not one of those ideas was his. Every one of those ideas was freaking Zane Bresloff.
Sure.
You know, who would always, like, he'd always come up, like, you know, what about this? You know, he'd always, you know, come, you know, like, and I thought, like, the spring break thing was awesome.
Here's why it worked, and here's my point in all of this. The Club La Vela shows, and there are special shows here and there, but as wrestling fans, we watch hours of wrestling every single solitary week. For Christ's sake, it's the longest running episodic show in television history. Every week we watch this show, and at least you and me and many others watch SmackDown every week as well, and you watch it week after week after week. It's just like going to school, where every now and then when you go to school, you get a field trip, and you get to go to somewhere new and somewhere different. And Club La Vela was always like that to me. It's like, we watch this fucking show every week. It's the same week over and over and over.
I loved when they would, like, play at college campuses, and it was like you're playing at a college campus as opposed to just an arena.
Sure, it was something brand new and different.
Yeah,
and here they were.
I always liked that, and I don't know why Raw doesn't do that.
Here they were going to Mexico for the first time ever. They're taping this show in Mexico City, and it's just another Raw. I mean, it's just like, why'd you even bother going? What was the point?
You know what I always like is when they would go to England and the guys start doing the pro USA stuff to get, you know, the heels start doing the pro USA stuff. And I keep thinking, like, okay, what about the people at home? You're doing the pro USA stuff. At least with Swagger, when he sang the national anthem, he sang it so bad that it, like, worked in both places.
Yeah.
But at first, when he starts with the national anthem, I'm going, like, geez, this is. But it worked. That was all right. But yeah, they could have done more. I don't think Mil Máscaras makes television either. On
of
SmackDown.
Course not. After tonight, there's no way that happened.
Yeah,
impossible. All right, let's do some Bound for Glory fallout.
Okay, what about it?
tell me about it, there, Dave. Any news?
Yeah, there's a lot of news. Yeah, Hulk Hogan decided that Bobby Roode's not going to win the title, and. You know, didn't think he was good enough to win the title, and now he's getting heat. So now he's saying, you got to pay attention to the long term. We got great long term plans.
Now it's all part of the storyline.
I'm sure, you know, maybe they'll change their plans again. Who knows?
Mm-hmm.
But no, that was the deal. You know, everyone, like, Roode was going to, in fact, win the championship, and sometime, you know, during the afternoon, he was still going to win the championship, but sometime in the late hours. Before the show, Hulk Hogan decreed that...
Was it the afternoon that he still thought he was winning?
I talked to people who were there in the afternoon. He was still winning in the afternoon, yes.
Okay. The reason I ask is because we had the report of a meet and greet. It was one that Angle was supposed to be there, but he couldn't make it. And the person that went said, you know, there were four or five people there. They were all awesome, except Bobby Roode, who looked like he wanted to be anywhere but there. And I thought, man, I wonder if they told him Saturday.
Well, all I know is that I got messages from several people who all said in the afternoon that everyone was talking about Bobby Roode winning the championship, and then, you know, Hogan made the call. So maybe they told him and didn't tell anyone else, but I don't think so. I think it would have been still that afternoon.
And Kurt Angle is saying, hey, everybody, I'm still training for the Olympics. I'm just taking a week off from my hamstring.
Yeah, he was in. Now Hogan was in bad shape coming back. I mean, the minute he went through the curtain, he could barely move. But they said like Angle was in way worse shape than Hogan going through. Angle, when he went through the curtain, they had to like literally pick him up and drag him to a, you know, his dressing room where he just laid on his back, like with this blank look on his face, and very scary and unnerving. And of course, yeah, so he'll be back. I'm sure he will be back in a week.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God. Can you, I mean, if he was healthy, none of this makes sense. But Jesus Christ, this is just crazy.
It's not good.
Yeah, yeah.
But he's a champion still, everybody.
Yeah. Yeah, there's definitely a lot of resentment right now about, you know, that plan changing, which I can understand, you know. But it tells you, you know, Too many cooks, which is another problem. It's like, you know, if you got, you know, Bruce Pritchard in charge, and I, you know, and again, Bruce is an interesting character. I know that everyone's got heat with Bruce already, so that didn't take long. I figured that would happen. I didn't think it would be this quick. So you got that, and then I don't know where Lagana's going to fit in. You still got Russo there.
Well, Lagana's going to India.
I guess. I mean, all I know is that Lagana's name came up to me when, you know, a couple weeks ago when the idea of the fact that Eric and Hogan, you know, I mean, they don't really like working with Russo, but they couldn't figure out anyone to put in the place.
Because it's,
you know, because they don't know anyone. So no one, they couldn't figure out anyone who could do it. And somehow, like, Lagana's name came up because he knows how to fill out a format sheet. How hard could it be to fill out a format sheet?
But I've never tried. I'd bet if I were working for TNA, it'd be pretty fucking hard.
Yeah, probably. But so his name came up on that. But Bischoff already has heat with him, so there you go.
Hmm. All this drama.
Yeah, because he wasn't told about it ahead of time. So it's crazy.
And that's Lagana's fault that Bischoff was not told ahead of time about his hiring?
It's no one's fault.
How was Lagana supposed to know who knew and who didn't?
Yeah.
Did he send out a memo? I don't want Bischoff to know.
it's a crazy world there.
I'll
say. At least they have whatever. At least they do have long term plans, or they did. I don't know if they have any anymore, but they did.
What great long term plans? Dixie's back, looking like a statue on TV every week. Hogan's a babyface, wanting to wrestle with Sting, I'm sure, in a tag match.
Yeah, against Flair.
Oh my!
Hogan wants to wrestle Flair because Flair's the one guy he can go in there and he completely trusts. It won't hurt him.
Well, Sting didn't hurt him.
Yeah, well, he probably trust Sting, but you think he trusts, like, you know, Bully Ray and these guys?
No, absolutely not. But quite frankly, you know what? I think at this stage of the game, I think that a Sting Hogan match would be better than a Hogan Flair match.
Well, it depends. I mean, if it's just about two guys hitting each other over the head with a spike, it's the same match.
Yeah, but see, Flair's not going to do that. Flair's going to go out there and try and do a Flair match when he was 25, and it's going to be a complete disaster.
No, I saw Flair work. I saw Flair work a week with Hogan in Australia, and he worked an incredible match with Hogan. I mean, it's much better than the Sting match.
But it was a far more mobile Hogan than we have today.
He blew. No, actually, I wouldn't even say that. It was the same because he blew out his hip on the very first spot, and he was in terrible pain, and he couldn't do anything, and Flair still got a 3-star match out of him.
Well, maybe it'll be good.
Now, I will say that the Flair of 2 years ago probably is a lot better than the Flair of today. Mm-hmm. So there is a difference, most likely. You know, I mean, because this was a Flair before, you know, torn rotator cuff and torn tricep. and, you know, being 2 years, you know, younger, and everything else that he's doing, which whatever that is.
High protein diet.
Yeah.
All right, before we get into questions, let's I know you want to talk about Roy Nelson and the debut of they actually moved the HDNet show. What the hell's the name of it again? MMA.
Inside MMA. Inside MMA. Now on at 8 o'clock, right before Raw.
Yes.
Live from the studios, which are in Southern California. And on the first show, they did this interview where Kenny Rice is, and Boss to a degree, but Kenny Rice is interviewing Roy Nelson, who is on satellite in Las Vegas, not in the studio.
Oh, no.
And it was a disaster. I mean, I cannot explain it. And Roy, it's, you know, between Roy trying to be funny on delay because he doesn't get, because there must have been some foul up, and, you know, this was like the worst interview, like, ever. I mean, it was like the greatest argument for taping the show is that first live show with that interview. Oh, jeez, that's brutal. And Roy has grown this mountain man beard, and you know, he's fighting Mirko Krokop in 2 weeks. So on the Diaz and BJ Penn show. So anyway, that was something to see, and not in a good way. Other than that, you know, it's Inside MMA. It's, you know, you get a lot of news, and it's a pretty good show.
Well, I got that on tape.
But that interview wasn't good.
I got it on tape, so I'll have something to watch after this show.
Yeah.
All right, let's do the questions here. You can always send these to mailbag at wrestlingobserver.com. All right, Jim here says, before Unico came to WWE, the Observer reporters used to say that Místico de Juárez was better than the famous Místico. Were they wrong? What happened?
I don't know what happened, but I mean, I watched him when he was incognito in TNA, and he was, like, really, really good. So as far as what happened, I don't know. You have to ask somebody else. I just know he was really good in TNA, so, which is why he didn't stay in TNA.
And did WWE ever look at bringing in Baby Doll Nickel Roberts?
I never heard that they did, so I would say no.
They didn't need 8 million women back then, unlike today.
They didn't use a lot of women, and she probably wasn't Vince's type because she was pretty big. So yeah, I don't remember, you know, ever, you know, any talk of it. You know, so yeah.
This person, Troy, here says, besides Rey Mysterio, who is really pushed as a mid-carder, no WWE main eventers ever fail wellness policy tests. Are they being tested? Do they have a way of beating the test? Or do they just have a different criteria for passing? Seems the only guys that ever get suspended are the wrestlers that don't matter.
Yeah. if you have big money, if you make a lot of money, it's easier to beat the test.
Isn't the cutoff still 6-1 testosterone to epitestosterone?
Yeah, I mean it is, but it's like, or it might be 10-1. I think that it might be like 10-1, but if it's between 4 and 10, then you have to have a meeting with a doctor.
That's right.
So yeah, I mean, I don't think it's 6.
Purely hypothetically, if you were able to,
but I don't think that's. I mean, yeah, you can manipulate that, and I mean that's something there, but. You know, the deal is that, you know, you take insulin or growth hormone, things like that. I mean, there's things that people take now that are not, you know, you can take with impunity. And if you have enough money and you take that tons of that stuff, you know, yeah, you're not going to get popped. I mean,
that's what I'm saying. If you hypothetically are able to manipulate things so that you're at 3-1, which is 3 times normal, and then you add growth hormone on top of that, you probably have a hell of a physique and you're passing your tests.
Yeah, I mean, it's you got to be really careful with that, but yeah, I mean, there's ways to do it, obviously. Obviously there is. You think all these guys are completely clean?
Of course, Dave.
Okay.
All right, the next person here says, is it true that Mark Calloway had to see a psychiatrist in 1999 because he was having trouble disassociating himself from the satanic Undertaker persona?
Is that a troll?
I don't know, but I never heard that story.
Yeah, it's probably a troll.
Usually, trolls ask better questions than that.
Well, wasn't a good troll.
Ryan here says, I noticed when Beth came out to Raw, they were mentioning this was her first Divas title and quickly claimed that if she won the women's title, wait a second here. They mentioned this was her first Divas title, then quickly chimed in that she won the women's title before, but not the Divas title.
Yeah, because they're two different titles, even though I don't know what the difference would be.
All right. Also, when Ray won the WWE title, they were really hammering it was his first WWE title, even though he won the world title a couple times, and only mentioning Cena's 10 WWE title wins and not his world title reigns. Just wondering if there's been a change by the announcers to make sure they separate the titles.
Perhaps. I don't know. You know, that's one of those Vince calls, you know, and those things, you know, he changes, you know, he gets on these kind of things, you know, or it's just the Vince thing. So it may be the Vince thing.
All right, Scott here. How come Paulie booked the Taz Candido match to a 1-minute squash in the show opener for Hardcore Heaven? The build for them was good. I had friends interested in the match. Order the pay-per-view. He gets squashed, and Taz later defends against Bubba Ray Dudley. Candido, from what I remember, was not injured at all.
I don't remember specifically, but Paul tried to book Taz as a killer, beating a lot of people really quick. So it may have been one of those things where, you know, Paul just came up with some ideas for that show, and that was the idea.
Al here says, Laurinaitis has got to be the worst on promos. He messes up words. Guess he can't follow the script. And whatever happened, became of the mystery general manager. I must have missed it. have missed it, he said. Granted, I've been turning the shows off a lot more than usual lately.
Come on.
No, listen, if you've not been watching all the shows, I can imagine you not knowing what the hell's going on with the GM because they never have mentioned it. And that's the answer. The answer is they've never mentioned it. He just vanished.
It's just, the mystery GM is like Vince being fired and Triple H being fired last week.
You know, the best part about the mystery GM is like they dropped it and the computer disappeared for weeks. And then they randomly brought it back because apparently they were going to do something with it again. And it was there for like a couple of weeks and then it disappeared again.
Yeah.
They have no idea what they're doing. All right.
They established that pretty well.
Yes. George here, I've been reading through Observers from 84, 85. Seen Brody's name pop up as being in talks with WWF. Was this true and even remotely close to happening, or was it a case of Brody?
Brody was never in Brody was never in serious talks in 84 and 85 with WWF. He was still doing Japan. Brody was in his mind was going to go for a run with Hogan at some point, but that point hadn't come. It was going to be in his mind when it was like the end of the road, and he knew his body had like maybe a year left. That's when he was going to go. And just then he would, you know, and put him over, you know, and get leg dropped and everything. But he wanted to go as long as possible without that run. And that would be like your retirement run. So he always, again, you know, he was always going to go there and work with Hogan because he knew he could. But you know, he wanted to work Japan as long as his body would hold up.
All right, on the current subject, ESPN E60 on Scott Hall tomorrow night has a story up on ESPN.com. At the very bottom of the article appears a familiar name. Associate producer John Minton III contributed to the report. Is that the son of Big John Studd?
Probably. It would be quite the coincidence if it wasn't, because John Studd was John Minton Jr., and he's got a son named John, who actually tried out for WWE at one of the years of Tough Enough, too. So I would think there's a good chance that it's the same guy.
This person says it looks like SmackDown is getting an influx of new viewers. To play devil's advocate, is it possible that the SmackDown guys on Raw shtick is actually working to pop ratings on SmackDown, or do you still think it is something else?
Could be a lot of things. You know, the thing with the SmackDown ratings is it's seasonal. It always does well in the fall and the winter, and then it goes down in the summer. So it could be, you know, it could just be that. Could be that people just like the product a little bit more right now, as far as the SmackDown version of the product. I don't know. I mean, yeah, I couldn't rule that out. It's possible that's part of it, too.
And finally here, Al says, I was wondering if Fox has an opt-out clause in the contract with UFC, and what number does the show on the 12th have to do to be considered a success by both Fox and UFC?
It's hard to say a number. I could tell you that Dana White expects that it will be the highest rated, show ever. So I guess that means, you know, 3.9 or better, because I think the record's 3.8. So that's Dana White, okay? But that's not Fox. They've never said anything like it. As far as, you know, you can always get out of a television station, can always get out of something, but you know, I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon that they want to get out of it, because the value of live sports right now to networks is very, very high. There's you know, sponsors are willing to spend a lot of money for live sports, especially a live sport that skews well with males 18 to 34, and UFC skews very well in that group. So, you know, I don't see anyone wanting to not do UFC. I mean, like, yeah, you know, if there's like something really horrible happens and it becomes like an issue, you can always get out of it. But it's, you know, again, unless something, you know, really bad happens, it's not. I mean, like with the ratings and everything, you know, we'll see what the ratings are. I mean, like if they go out and do a 1.7 rating for the Kane fight, this relationship will not be off to a, you know, a very good start. But they're really not going to do that number. I mean, I don't know what number they're going to do. You know, might be slightly disappointing. It might be a home run. I mean, they're promoting the hell out of it, so I'm thinking it's probably going to be good, the first one. And you know, down the line, I mean, you know, who knows what it'll be? But I think the first one probably will be nothing to worry about. If it is, well, you know, we'll see.
All right, everybody, that is going to do it for today. But we're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new show. Wednesday is also the day that the Hall of Fame issue comes out. Sometime this week, we're going to have Bruce Mitchell back on the show to run it down now that it's out. And we have a new back issue of The Observer up as well tomorrow. New Figure 4 Weekly out on Wednesday. Bunch of new shows, so check it all out. And we'll talk to you again after a while.